times is written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. See here, we see at the beginning, those who are strong bear the scruples of the weak. So I think mine also has in place of scruples, weaknesses. So you look at the footnotes. So bear the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves, but to please your neighbor for good, leading to edification. So there's a support system, you know, helping each other deal with trials, with their particular weaknesses that they have. They might, you know, be succumbed for the betterment of everyone. And I like looking at verse 5. It says, the God of patience and comfort grant to you like-mindedness toward one another. So we're to have, be of the like mind of, as God, is that comfort and patience. You know, the patience in dealing with brethren and their weaknesses and comforting them through their trials and through their weaknesses. And also 1 Thessalonians 5. Thessalonians 5:14 and 15. Now exhort your brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. And what do we see here that might help support our flock?
Help the weak.
Yeah, help the weak. Uphold the weak.
Encourage the faint-hearted.
Those who are close to succumbing. I guess if you use that, the faint-hearted in that manner. You know, we're to comfort them and help them. That's how I see verse 2 with those, you know, those verses that with the context in Galatians chapter 6, with those, you know, shows that you know, helping someone so that they don't fall into temptation. You know, we restore someone, but we're also just supposed to support one another so that hopefully you don't have to restore them. They don't get caught in sin. They stay on the path of God. You know, when I guess one.
Go ahead. It may be that they just haven't learned. They don't have knowledge yet about some things. Paul spends a lot of time in Corinthians, you know, especially the first letter, talking about liberty and about giving up liberty. Even if they, you know, things that are okay, but if you have brethren who are weak, and the trick is by doing whatever is going to cause them to stumble, he said, I give it up. You know, I'm not going to get weak if he's not even weak. And so, you know, we can have the attitude, well, they just need to know better, or, you know, that's not my problem, it's their problem, and not care about edifying or lifting up or bringing him along, you know, but that we're, even in matters of, you know, for conscience sake, we need to support, you know, even our brethren in that matter, right? Even if they're not even caught up in some sin, but something that they're struggling with and don't understand and they're trying to grow in the knowledge of that. Help them along.
Yeah. And I was going to bring up trying to put it on ourselves, you know, how to help us in applying it. You think about yourself, if you were in that sort of situation, you've had you're facing difficulties or some tribulation, you haven't succumbed yet, but you're faint, you're weak, you're tired, things are putting a strain on you. You know, how do you feel, and how do you react to things? No one had a tough time?
If you're stressed, you're going to be short-tempered, and your fuse is going to be a little bit shorter, and you're going to be lashing out and more than what you would have normally if you'd been nice and calm and zen.
Yeah. And so you're probably not going to be showing those attitudes, the fruits of the Spirit that we have. You're not going to be ideally exemplifying those things, are you? I mean, you get stressed, you get, you know, in a strain, you sort of go to the weaker side of things. Josh?
And you also, let's say you're just overwhelmed and exhausted because your burdens are so much, like maybe you're having to take care of too many people, and you feel responsible for doing that. After you spend time, you know, or taking care of like issues, you're exhausted and you can't spend time, you know, encouraging others, or you know, studying the Word, or time in prayer, or praise. You're just too busy kind of fiddle around with things all day, and now you're too tired. If someone could have helped you with that, though, who had the time, then you, it frees you up to do even more good things.
Yeah. I mean, when you tire and you start to falter in your own ideals and commitments, I mean, what is your priorities, what's truly important, right? You know, so if you start to falter, you're slipping a slippery slope. You're not going to realize the ideals you set up is important, but you get all worked up about this other stuff. And of course, I haven't been specific about what it is. You know, it could be responsibilities, strain in your work with or relationships. You know, it could be dealing with issues that you're weak with. But, you know, yeah, you know, brethren can help you. They help you deal with other responsibilities. And just that comfort, you know, sometimes when you're on the hairy edge, you feel alone. You know, like, oh, I'm all by myself here, and I'm bearing all the load. I'm going to crack. You know, someone shows that, you know, that care for you. I care about you. You're not alone. It feels good. Just, you know, just then, it's like, oh, you feel better. You know, when that happens. You know, of course, when you come to realization, you're not alone. Yeah, Elijah, you know, he's in that cave. He starts. You're under those sorts of things. You start thinking, oh, it's just me. I'm all by myself. And God told him, no. It's not just you. There's other folks over here, too. And you get, you come out of that blinders and you look around. So, yeah, brethren are important. We need to support one another. Then coming to verse 5 in chapter 6, back in Galatians, you know, we look at the context there. Beginning of verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And that for each is a continuation of thought from verse 4, in which he's telling them to examine your own work. So there that, yeah, and as Don, as her point of view said, and I agree with it, it's the, you know, we're responsible for our own actions. Regardless of whatever other physical responsibilities or strains we have, we're still responsible for our own actions. You know, the context continues on in 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And we're seeing here, you know, the matter of your work and its outcome. You know, regardless of how much support we get from others and comfort, we all still have our own actions. And, you know, we know, like in 2 Corinthians 5:10, Second Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And also in Romans 2 and 5 through 8. Someone read that one for me?
But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who, by perseverance in doing good, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
That's good. Thanks. Just pointing out here in these extra verses, what we already should know is that God judges us for our own work, the good works we're to perform, you know, and no matter level of support from others can change that. We can't be judged for Rod, help me out. Rod, judge me well because Rod helped me so much. Rod's going to be judged for his actions, and I have to be judged for whatever I'm capable of for my own, good or bad.
This passage is interesting, Michael, because it looks like you mentioned verses 2 and 5, but it goes back and forth. It goes, starts in 2, change, seems to change subject in 5, changes back in verses 7, 8, 9, and then back again. It's almost like, make up your mind, Paul, but there's an aspect of this where we are totally alone. When it comes to accountability, you will never be accountable for what I do, no matter whether you had an opportunity to help me or not. You are never accountable for me. Mm-hmm. I think that's verse 5. Mm-hmm. But
yes.
You have a responsibility to try to help me, but you never are accountable for me. And so Paul's trying to teach two different things, because remember, you can go either extreme now. You can really just lay it on people. Okay, that doesn't help. You can be so passive that you'll never get them to understand the truth. And in dealing with people back and forth, you can lose the fact that ultimately they're responsible for learning this word.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change that. You can't soften that. But you can be patient and gentle with helping them to get there. And so that's really all he's further than the same thought.
And yes. And sometimes we get confused in the words because words use the same words but can still have different meanings. And just wanted to make sure it was all clear. Thank you, Rob, for those comments.
Michael, your thoughts, please, on verse 6. He puts it right in the middle there. So what do you think Paul is telling these people again in verse 6? He's told them to bear one other burden, but you've done your own work. You are going to bear your load, your God just kind of said and moved on. And then he says, verse 6.
Yeah, well, turn to page 21. It tells us, yes, in verse 5, we have a responsibility. We have to bear our own load. You know, and we're going to be, you know, we're going to receive the rewards of that, whether it's, you know, the work we perform. He's given us our responsibilities. Here's your responsibility, bear your own load. And in order to, I guess I'm not going to dare to back to you, what we're going to be judged on, what are we to be doing? We're bearing our load, but what are we doing in order that we might receive the eternal life? We're going to get judged. And there's the everlasting life, and the other is, you know, corruption of the flesh. There's two outcomes. And so we're supposed to be doing something. What is that something we're to be doing? And then that's our main responsibility.
Share God's word and do good to others.
Yeah, share God's word and do good to others. But here in verse 6, it comes right in the middle there. It tells us one of the things we're to be doing. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And also in verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. And so what is the answer to the question?
Still supposed to seek and save the lost.
Yes. But in the verses we just read, What does it say there? I mean, what does it say specifically? And then you can interpret it to mean different things. What does it say first? Sorry, Don?
Well, in verse 6, you know, to share the word. The one who is taught the word is to share with all good things with the one who teaches him. I took that as, and in the verses following, that we're to do things out of love, share with those, and continue sharing, even if we don't or can't see immediate results from that, we're still to continue doing that, because again, in verse 9, our reward will be in heaven if we don't stray or lose heart and faith. But we're still to continue, even if we can't see immediate results.
I see verse 6 is not... I see verse 6 is more specific. I see verse 6 as saying, okay, here's a situation, and somebody is trying to teach somebody else. They're trying to restore somebody. I think verse 6 teaches about the attitude of the one that's receiving that word. Now, you can either discourage me, so I will never help you, I will never come to you again and try to help you, or I can encourage you, I can thank you, but thank you for bringing that to my attention. Thank you for helping me to understand what truth is. I believe that's what verse 6 is talking about, is I now have shared back with you and encouraged you to be more helpful to me in restoring me. It wouldn't be limited to that, but I think in this context, that is primarily what it's talking about. Hey, you're bearing your own load, and by the way, you ought to appreciate those that come to you and try to teach you the word, verse 6. And when you know how you do that? You thank them, and you show them that you appreciate their coming to you, rather than, as we talked a little while ago, about how people really react most of the time, and, well, what about you? You know, rather than think about what they were just told. It's hard for us to listen to what we're just told because we're already formulating in our mind a rebuttal. Oh, yeah? Well, I can outdo that. You know?
Wouldn't you think that that's where part of that losing heart and growing weary comes in? Because
absolutely.
Because I have never come across a situation where someone has fallen away and I have gone to talk to them. And immediately they thank you so much for telling me I was wrong and doing all of that. It's taken months of continuing to try and talk to them before you start chipping away at that.
See, verse 9, I see verse 9 as a little more generic because at least it's hard for me to understand whether verse 9 is talking to the person that's teaching or the person that's being taught. I guess that's more of a comment. It seems to open it up a little bit more about doing good, either in helping you or being receiving help.
I think in that case it is more generic. It's opened up to, here's our responsibilities as all Christians. I mean, we're all supposed to be, we're all going to reap something, a lesson in life, or not just a teacher, the one who is taught. And so, hey, we should all be doing good, and yeah, we're supposed to be sharing and all good things with the teacher.
I think in this instance, just I think so, that it is very, very specific.
In verse 6?
And in verse 9. The doing good is the teaching and the obeying. And in not being caught in any trespasses, but the restoring. I think it's in the context of examining our work, helping one another, put the other burdens, and watching our own selves and teaching. And that. The doing good in so many other passages, like over in Peter, it's specific. You know, it's not just a broad, just go out and do it. I think that this.
Oh, it's talking about specific to who's doing it or the actions themselves. I thought we were talking about is it the teacher versus.
Helping one another, restoring one another,
bearing
one another.
I meant generally, all Christians generally, students, not just the teacher. So if you're talking about the actual works, what those are,